Brothers and sisters, I come to you this morning with a question. What are we doing here? I mean, what are we doing? I'm going to stand here, and for the next few minutes, I'm going to deliver a mostly pre-planned speech called a sermon. I'm going to preach, and I'm going to preach to you. And I have to ask a very simple question, a question perhaps so obvious that we forget to ask it. Who cares? Well, thank you. I'm glad you do. We got one. But who cares what I have to say? Does preaching matter? Does preaching have a place? Does it have any place in modern worship? Does preaching have any place in modern society? Because I am here to tell you there are many people who are telling you that preaching is dead, both in and outside of the walls of the church. And they have plenty of reasons. Preaching, so it is said, preaching is old-fashioned. It's antiquated. It belongs to another time. Why should a person just stand there and speak without graphics, without video aids, without sound effects, without emojis, without interactive software? Why? And why should that person be the only speaker and without closed captioning? Why? Preaching is very tedious. It's dull. It's boring. And as alluded to just before, preaching is arrogant. Why should one person get to do all the talking? Maybe we should all take turns and everybody can come up and everybody can speak for 3 to 5 minutes. Maybe we can get, you know, the old-time vaudeville hook thing, and if somebody goes a little long, we can yank them right off, huh? I mean, that'd be a little funnier. And more than that, so the complaints go, so the criticisms go. Preaching is just too hard to do. It is extremely difficult. And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, and I'm telling you this with absolute humility and absolute reality. I am not just saying something. I am here to tell you every sermon fails. Everyone. I have never preached a sermon that didn't fail. Because somebody, no matter what I said, somebody was angry. Somebody was upset. Somebody was frustrated. Somebody was disappointed. And I'm not the only one. Every preacher, every pastor you talk to, they will tell you that in the same sermon, you'll hear all these things. It was too long. It was too short. It was too academic. It was too dumbed down. It was too conservative. Oh, it was too liberal. Too much Bible, not enough Bible. Too energetic, too dry. You can never please anyone. You can never please everyone. And there's no such thing as an objectively good sermon. It just doesn't exist. Because the perfect sermon at that church may be a terrible one here. And the greatest sermon you've ever heard, somebody else might think was just so many words. As Shakespeare said, Hamlet, what are you reading? Words, words, words. Lukey, what are you preaching? Words, words, words. But even worse than the method and the style is the content. Oh, listen to the criticisms of the content, brothers and sisters. Why should people in current year, why should people in 2024 spend our mornings listening to a half-baked interpretation of a Bronze Age ethics manual? Why? There's been new stuff written since 70 AD, I promise. Why? The Bible, so it is said, is so out of date, it is so reactionary, that preaching the Bible is either meaningless. At best, it's meaningless. Or at worst, it's a positive evil. It is a social evil, an acid that undermines progress. And still, there are those who preach who ignore the Bible, and they seek and they strive to be relevant, wanting to give a meaningful, ethical message out of the material we have in the modern day. But these rarely rise above the rambling musings of a failed philosopher. Preaching is dead. And good riddance, so say many. Preaching at its best is a harmless distraction with some vapid fortune cookie wisdom. Mostly, it's a waste of time. And at worst, it promotes hate and evil in the world. And guess what? I'm prepared to agree. I'm willing to agree. I stand before you today in full honesty. I am willing to agree that preaching is a spent force that needs to be tossed in the trash heap of history. I am ready this morning, and I say this with full honesty, I am ready this morning to walk away from the pulpit rather than to be a fraud and resign my role as the pastor. I'm willing to quit this morning. I'm willing to admit that preaching is a waste of time on one condition. I am ready on one condition to say that this is all a waste of time and we ought to just go home. Preaching is a waste of time if, here's the condition, preaching is a waste of time if the Bible is not the Word of God. If the Bible is not God's Word, then preaching is an utter and complete waste of time. It is. If this book is not God's Word, then preaching and teaching and studying it is a waste of time and we ought to go home. And I'm being serious. But, if the Bible is the Word of God, if this thing that I hold in my hands right now, if this is God's Word, if this is His revelation to us, then preaching is the proclamation of God's Word. You know what? That's not even far enough. Let me go even further. If this book is God's Word, then the preaching of God's Word, the proclamation of the Word of God, is the Word of God. If this book is God's Word to us, then when a preacher stands and proclaims this Word, it is the Word of God. No questions, no qualifications, no question marks. It is the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, when I come to you of a Sunday morning, I do not come to give you pious platitudes. I do not come to give you smooth talk with soothing words. I do not come here to stroke my own ego or to fumigate your colons. That is not my business. That is not what I'm here for. Lynn got the fumigate the colons joke. I come, brothers and sisters, I come here in the morning to proclaim the Word of God. And here's the truth. It is not because I'm wise enough. It is not because I'm smart. It's not because I'm clever. It's not because I went to Dallas. It's not because I'm a wordsmith. I come to proclaim God's Word because God has called me and He has gifted me and He has charged me with the glorious, awful, wonderful burden of proclaiming His Word. There are many who will agree and will say that the preaching is the proclamation of the Word of God. There are many out there, they'll tell you, they'll say, oh yes, preaching is very important, preaching is all important, and preaching is so important that it has to be left to a handful of hyper-experts, 20, 100 preachers, the really best ones, the really good ones, the preachers who are out there and they're selling you sermons for you to buy and you can preach those and memorize them and talk them. Or better yet, we'll just put the screen up and we'll live stream in a really good preacher. Somebody who's good, somebody who's talented, somebody who is an expert, somebody who is ready to speak. And I am not making this up. There are many people out there who advocate this. Just look it up on the internet. You can find anything on the internet. They will tell you, preaching is too important to be left in the hands of peons and half-wits like me. You need the good ones to do it. But I don't believe that. I don't believe it. I don't believe that. Because, you know, I said that there's no such thing as an objectively good sermon. I truly believe that. What might be a good sermon for John MacArthur's church may not be what God wants you to hear on a Sunday morning. It might not be. I think that God wants John MacArthur to preach to John MacArthur's church. I absolutely do. But I think he wants me to preach to you. Because the power of preaching does not rely on the rhetorical prowess of the preacher. It relies on the power of God. The power of preaching is in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit to speak in and through an anointed man of God. That's it. It is not me. It is not you. It is all the power of the Spirit and the authority of God's Word upon which I have staked my life and my eternity. The book has the power because God has the power. The Word proclaimed has power because the Spirit has power. Because the Spirit is the Lord, the giver of life. The Spirit gives life. The Spirit animates the Word. The Spirit of God is the one who takes the mindless musings of an idiot like me and transforms it into the proclamation of the Word of God, who transforms it into the Word of God. The power of God's Word, the heavy burden of preaching, God calls me, not John MacArthur, not Andy Stanley, not Alistair Begg. He calls me to know you and to fast for you and to pray for you and to spend time studying for you. To meditate on the Scriptures for you so that I can give you the Word of God, a fresh Word of God, a transforming Word of God. Because brothers and sisters, whether you believe it or not, I for sure believe this. I believe that preaching has transforming power. I believe that God's Word proclaimed can change us from what we are into the image of Christ. I believe it with all my heart because I've seen it in my own life. It has happened. Christ has saved me, and he's changed me. Oh, he's not done with me. Ask Emily, she knows. If God's done with me, then eternity with me would be hell. Eternity with myself would be hell. If I'm stuck with me as I am, that would be a curse and a burden. He's not done with me, but I can tell you he's changed me. And in this book, there is inexhaustible truth. There is never an end. And we should always seek a fresh word from God, a new word from God. Brothers and sisters, I want to read for you something. When the pilgrims left, when they got on the ship, there was a farewell sermon by John Robinson in 1620. He was their pastor, and he stayed, but he proclaimed this message to them. This is what a man of God told his people as they were setting off across the ocean to start a new colony in a new world. He said, "We are now ere long to part asunder, and the Lord knoweth whether ever I should live to see your faces again. But whether the Lord had appointed it or not, I charge you before God and his blessed angels to follow me no further than I followed Christ. And if God should reveal anything to you by any other instrument of his, to be as ready to receive it as ever you were ready to receive any truth by my ministry. For I am very confident the Lord has more truth and light yet to break forth from his holy word." The Lutherans, they cannot be drawn to go beyond what Luther saw. For whatever part of God's will he had further imparted and revealed to Calvin, they would rather die than embrace. And so also you see the Calvinists, they stick where he left them, a misery much to be lamented. For though they were, that is Luther and Calvin, were precious shining lights in their times, yet God has not revealed his whole will to them. And were they now living, they would be as ready and willing to embrace further light as that they had received. I remind you of your church covenant that you swore to receive whatsoever light or truth shall be made known to you from God's written word, and I exhort you to take heed what we received for truth, and well to examine and compare it and weigh it with other scriptures of truth before you receive it. For it is not possible the Christian world should come so lately out of such thick anti-Christian darkness, and that full perfection of knowledge should break forth at once. Let me give you the Cliff Notes version. The Puritans, the Pilgrims, people who were ready to cross the ocean in a leaking, rickety boat because of their devotion to the Word of God, they were committed to the belief that God continues to have fresh truth ready to break forth from this book. They staked their lives on it. They staked their children's lives on it. And many of them died, and many of their children died in the process of achieving that city on a hill that they longed for. Because they believed. They believed firmly. They were willing to risk their lives on it that God has more truth to come from this book. Brothers and sisters, the title of this sermon is Why Preaching? Why Sermons? And it's a good question. Why preach? The only reason I can think of, the only reason that matters to me, the only thing I think makes any sense is if God has fresh truth, if the Holy Spirit in power can reveal a fresh word to us, if God's word can come to us this morning, if the Word of God, the transforming Word of God, the empowered Word of God, the Spirit's empowered Word of God can come to us and penetrate us and change us and do it in new and fresh ways, ways that we need, that the Spirit can teach us new things that we need to know. If that's the case, then God has laid an almost unbearable burden upon us all. Because God has laid upon me the burden to dedicate my life to preaching His Word. I love preaching. You can ask Emily. I would preach all day, every day. If you give me an audience, I'll stand up and preach. You give me preparation, you give me no preparation, it doesn't matter. Put a Bible in my hand and give me an audience, I'll go. I will. I'm not bragging. I love it. I love preaching. It's the one thing on this world I was put here to do. I genuinely believe that. I love it. It's changed my life. I believe in it. I believe in preaching. But God has laid upon me a burden that I will be judged according to, that I give you God's word. No filters, no apologies, no question marks. I proclaim the Word of God to you. And it has to be a word that you need. A Word of God for you. God has called me to dedicate my life to fasting and prayer and study, meditation and preparation so that I can give you, not that church, not some random audience in internet land, to give you a word that He wants you to have. Because God knows you, and He cares about you, and He has set me to be the shepherd for you. He could have gotten you a better one, but I don't know, maybe He was mad at you. I don't know. And God has placed that burden upon me. And it's a heavy one. It's a joyful one, but it's a heavy one. And God will hold me accountable. When I am judged, He will ask me whether I proclaimed the Word of God. And He will judge me according to that. But brothers and sisters, you have a burden as well. And this is my encouragement to you. When we come to church of a Sunday morning, do we come prepared to hear a new and living word from the Lord God? Do we come ready to hear fresh truth break forth from His Scriptures? Do we come ready to submit to the Spirit's power so that He can transform us through His Word? Do we? We should. Because brothers and sisters, this is a wonderful truth. This is a glorious thing.
that God, in his infinite grace and wonderful mercy and unfathomable love, loves you so much that that book is not a dead book, but it's a living book. And he wants it to live and abide in you. That God has given you the glorious gift of the Spirit and a new and fresh word from him. God, brothers and sisters, is speaking to you. God longs to speak to you and to transform you through the power of his word. Will you let him? Will you let him? It is a gift. Oh, sure, it's a burden, but it's a gift too. Like all truly great gifts, it's both a joy and a sorrow. We'll be held accountable to it, all of us. We will be held account whether we lived our lives ready to hear God's word and to let it change us and make us into who he wants us to be. Brothers and sisters, I end with this. Whatever we do, however we think of, whether you like the sermon, whether you don't like it, whether you like me, whether you don't like me, whether you like the pastor you hear on TV or whether you don't, it doesn't matter. What matters is whether God's word was proclaimed and whether we, including me, I listen to sermons too, whether we were ready to hear God's fresh word for us. And that's my prayer for you, brothers and sisters. My prayer for myself is that more and more diligently, with more and more fervor, and more joy and seriousness and sobriety, I will study, meditate, pray, fast, weep over God's word so that I can give you something fresh, a new, true word empowered by the Spirit. And my prayer for you is that you all will be ever ready to hear God speak to you, not to speak to somebody else, not to speak to your cousin, not to talk to Grandma or Aunt Pa, but to speak to you with a fresh and transforming word. Let us pray. God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that your word is a living word, living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you, God, that your word, empowered by your Spirit, can transform us. Lord, we pray that you would make me instant in season and out of season, ready in all circumstances to proclaim your word. And we pray, God, that all of us would be instant in season and out of season, ready to hear and receive and be transformed by your word. All this we pray in the name of our most glorious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.